ladies and gentlemen, it's time for the most famous words in motorsports with your host, Lugs and the Gas Man. Ladies and gentlemen, start your podcast.
Hey, folks, welcome back to another week of Raking and Racing. This is the Gas Man with my co-host, Lugs.
How's it going?
So this week we have no cup race, but we have a lot of exciting things to talk to you about. First off, as always, thank you fans for being awesome. A couple of you received some gifts in the mail. You're welcome. Hope you like them.
Thanks for entering our giveaway prizes and everything.
Absolutely. So. Hopefully, we're quickly approaching 1,000 downloads, I should say.
Yeah, we might have to do another.
Yeah, we'll try to come up with something new. Maybe I can make a hat or something.
You're getting really good at arts and crafts there, Gasman.
If you say so. It's been a struggle. So anybody who got your gift, I apologize in advance for my lack of craft abilities, because I did make the gifts myself.
Do you want to share what it was?
I got all of our winners a beer mug.
Okay.
And I put our logo on it and their name on it. And cool. I did that myself.
Nice.
Yes, it was very difficult to do for being as least talented that I am at pretty much every endeavor I do. So as again, fans, always thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for telling your friends. If you haven't told a friend, why not? Tell them. And also this week, a special shout out to all the fathers out there. It was Father's Day this week, so thank you for listening. Tell your dads hi for us and get them listening to the shows as well. So, and as always, we start off our episode with our official beer of NASCAR.
Busch.
All right. So, as always, reach out to us, WreckingRacing.com. WreckingRacing@gmail.com, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, you name it, we're on there basically.
Send us your questions or thoughts, opinions. Last week we did on our podcast, ask for some fan interaction. Send us some questions since we didn't have a cup race to talk about. We were hoping we were going to get some questions, which we did. So
we got some. I was a little disappointed. I wish we had a lot more, but we did have a couple.
But we did. So, we got some. So we'll talk about that in a little bit. But.
And fans, this isn't a 1 week event. If you ever have questions, you know, email us. Let us know, and we'll try to answer them on the show for sure. But a lot of exciting stuff this week. So should we go ahead and tell them about next week's episode? The excitement with that.
Sure. Why not?
So next week, Lugs and I are going to be supplied with endless amounts of bush, hopefully. So Big Cat, if you're listening, remember that. So next week, Lugs and I will be at Doc Sports Club in Evansville, Indiana, doing a live podcast from the bar. So yeah, if you're in the area, 5:30 to 6:30 p.m., Evansville, Indiana, next week on Wednesday, for some beer. Come by. If you come by and say you listen to the show, I will buy you a beer myself. So there you go, folks. Gas Man has spoken. I might even wear a shirt with my name on it, Gas Man, so you know who I am.
I'm excited to pick Big Cat. That's not a name that we gave him, by the way. That's his own handle.
He came up with his own nickname.
But we're going to talk to. He's a big NASCAR fan. He's the owner of that establishment. But we're going to talk to him about. You know, his favorite driver, things that, how he got into the sport and, you know, what keeps him tuning into the sport and really get another fan's perspective. So it'll be an interesting show, I think.
You never know if we might pull in a bar patron to talk to us as well. Absolutely. I mean, we get the most drunkest guy there to talk to. This might be an entertaining show. Much more entertaining than you and I, sir.
Maybe.
So this week, we were in the great state of Iowa for the Xfinity and the Camping Truck...
I believe that's not even it anymore. It's a Gander.
Has it switched to Gander
officially? Yeah, it's officially Gander.
Okay, so Gander Outdoors Truck Series, whatever it is. Craftsman Truck Series, how about that?
Good old days, the Craftsman Truck Series.
Yeah, you know, it's Winston Cup, Busch Series, and a Craftsman Truck
Forever
Series.
Forever it will be, yep.
So actually, this week was, you know, it was a Cup off week. It was still a great week of racing.
Mm-hmm.
Did you watch the Xfinity race?
I did, yep, I did.
So who won?
Justin Allgaier.
Yeah, it was. It had some good moments.
Some good racing. Yeah. He won all the stages. Kind of dominated it, but he did have some challenges,
especially towards the end.
Yeah, yeah.
Chris Bell. Chris Bell actually. Let's talk about Chris Bell real quick. So he started 39th because he failed qualifying inspection or pre-qualifying inspection.
He kind of called a shot, too. He said, even though we're going to start back here, he's like, I fully expect to be up there contending for the win. And he was.
And he was, yeah. He's the only one that really pushed Allgaier there at the end. He actually passed Allgaier twice there in the last series of laps, but Allgaier got back around him and got the victory. So congratulations to Justin. Congratulations to Chris working his way up there finishing second. Elliot Sadler went in as the points leader.
Yep.
He came out the points leader, but by a very slight margin, only 4 points.
Yeah, he before Michigan, the week before, he had a 62-point lead.
Yeah, he's had two bad races in a row. It's really hurt him.
Had as you remember, on my soapbox at Michigan. But, yeah, had a bad race there. Yeah, had a bad race there and then a bad race this weekend. So he went from 62 points to, what, I think 3 over Cole Custer?
4 points over Cole Custer, yeah.
And then I think Daniel Hemric is just a couple points behind
that. Yeah, I think Hemric's 3 points behind Custer.
Yeah, so a really tight battle there.
Seven points in the top three, I believe is what it is.
That's exciting.
Yeah. So overall, you know, congratulations to those guys. Congratulations to Xfinity Series because it was a pretty good race.
Yeah.
Now, go ahead.
What do you think about Iowa?
Cup Series should go there.
I think they should go there.
I think they should.
Lot of people, I don't know if you got on Twitter much this weekend, but there was a lot of fan interaction saying they wanted to see that Cup package with the high horsepower, the faster cars, go to that track and see what that racing product would be.
What's it going
to
hurt?
And I agree. Like,
let's do it.
That I think it would be, do it for a year, see what happens.
Yeah. You know, maybe. We keep talking about different things they can do to this schedule to maybe help it out a little bit. Maybe they can have, like, 4 wild card races per year. So what I mean by wild card, as in there's 4 race tracks that aren't normally on the schedule for that year. The next year, those 4 tracks might change up to another 4 tracks.
Yeah. It's a good idea.
I mean, talk about throwing teams for a loop, hitting different markets you're not typically in.
Okay, so I was going to go here later on. Okay. This is one of my curveball questions for you.
Okay.
But since we're right here, I'm going to say it now.
Okay.
Why shouldn't Cup go to a street race, form a street race in a city somewhere and do a street race like IndyCar or F1?
Yeah, I can see that. The only thing I can maybe see a little bit different is they are much heavier beasts than the F1 and IndyCars.
Yes.
So the potential of damage on the temporary barriers you're put on the street might be too much. I don't know. Just from engineering aspect, that might be a big impact or big part.
Right, but I think that's something with enough planning that they can, withstand or.
I definitely think it's worth a shot. Just I wouldn't like it.
Well, of course not.
Even
though
last
week you said that you're becoming more
of a road courses
are
different than a street race.
Well,
street races are much more tighter of a
racing.
That's
true.
It's much harder to pass.
But getting back to what you just said literally 1 minute ago is the demographics and the markets that it would expose NASCAR to would be tremendous. And I think that the sport could definitely use that. So maybe one of those 3 or 4 rotating events that you were talking about could be just that. I mean, even if it's, can you think about, like, if the Cup Series did a street race or street venue in New York City or Los Angeles.
It'd be crazy. I mean, it'd be kind of awesome to see, just to see it.
Absolutely. Dude, if they did, I don't care. Being in the Midwest where we're at, I would make it to that race. I would go to one of those.
Sounds like a plan. We'll make a deal right here on this show that if NASCAR was to do that, the very first inaugural street race, you and I will attend.
I would do it. I would absolutely do it. Okay. I think it would be fun. I think they would...
Watch it being like Monaco or something, and my wife's going to kill me for that plane ticket.
Oh, my God. Monaco. Yeah, that's a little pricey.
Yeah.
I don't see Cup Series going to Monaco.
Either do I. I'm just throwing it out there that we may just set ourselves up for a little bit of a
but anyways,
hit to our wallets.
Yeah, so I mean, I think the fact that you're going to be exposed to people that... would never be exposed to it otherwise. You're dropping a race literally on their streets that they commute to on a daily basis. Like,
I think about how loud they are. Indy and Formula One are nowhere near as loud as Cup cars.
Not used to be, but not anymore.
Not anymore, right. Yeah. Not anymore.
So, but yeah, I would be totally for it. So that was one of my questions I was going to bring up later, but you kind of went ahead and went down that road. So,
yeah, sorry.
No, that's cool. So I'm glad to see that you're on that side of the argument.
So let's, yeah,
I didn't know what you were going to say there.
I know Brent Duar, president of NASCAR, listens to us every week. So Brent, take that to heart. Think about it. So going on to the truck race, which was at Iowa as well, the really exciting thing was that the home country boy from Iowa, Brett Moffitt, was the winner.
Mm-hmm,
very exciting racing, though.
Very exciting finish.
Yeah.
Noah Gregson threw a Hail Mary there on the last lap.
He slid up, hit the wall. He still finished second.
Yeah.
Still finished second. So good for Noah.
It reminded me of the move, you remember, God, it's probably been 10 years ago now, but Carl Edwards tried the same move on Jimmy Johnson. I think it was at Kansas. And he's like, I saw it in a video game once, yeah. So I was going to try it.
It's funny you said that because of the comments about that race all over Twitter, et cetera, was it looks like video game racing.
Yeah, yeah.
And Noah even said that's kind of how it was. Mm-hmm. He tried. So exciting, exciting racing. Harrison Burton, he's 17 years old. He finished third. So
Jeff Burton's son?
Yes.
Yeah.
So good. Congratulations to him. That's basically the recap of racing for the week.
I expect him to be in the Cup Series very soon.
Absolutely. He's one of the up-and-comers. He's got the name, like Blaney. Not that that means anything necessarily, but it definitely helps. I can see him and John Hunter Nemechek both moving their way up.
Mm-hmm. It's funny how cyclical. I mean, we grew up watching their dad's race, day in and day out when we were growing up, and now seeing their kids come makes me feel old, but it's still cool.
Yeah. Dude, we are old. All right, so now it's time for one of the most exciting parts of the show. What this show is all about today. And that is hearing from the fans asking us questions that they wanted us to answer. We didn't care if they were stupid, silly, crazy, whatever.
We hope they were, actually.
Yeah, the crazier the better. We wanted some good feedback from the fans, some stuff to ponder. And going forward, fans, if you have stuff, please let us know. We want to listen. We want to hear. We want to talk about that. You are the reason we're doing this show. All right. And just to let you guys know, too, Lugs knows a couple of the questions, but he doesn't know all the questions. So there is going to be a couple of curveballs down his way.
I can't wait. Yeah, I saw a couple of them posted on the page. So I look forward to those. But there's a couple I don't know. So bracing for impact there.
All right, so we'll get into it now, Lugs. So I will ask you the question. I'll let you say your answer, or I'll step in and elaborate myself.
Okay.
Because I since I know what the questions are, I kind of have some preconceived notions or thoughts on it. So first question from Kyle Barkley in South Carolina. He messaged us through our website, wreckingandracing.com, this question. With all these up-and-coming ladies in racing, Deegan, Lexi Gay, Natalie Decker, and others, who do you think the next one to make it in one of the big three divisions will be? He thinks, personally, it'll be Haley Deegan.
That's where I was going to kind of lean, too, just for the fact that she's in the NASCAR Next program, and you hear that name a lot, so it sounds like...
She comes from a racing background family. Her dad was a motocross racer or whatever. Mm-hmm. They drive the trucks, like kind of like Jimmy Johnson, the Baja-style trucks, like that. So I definitely... she's a strong contender. Strong contender. My first note when this question came out, my first image that popped in my head was Natalie Decker.
Uh-huh.
Natalie's a little bit older than Haley. She's been around the block a little bit more, but more mature. She's currently in the ARCA series.
Mm-hmm.
She does have a pole. No wins, unfortunately. She does have a pole. She's 21 years old. I say that she's probably going to be our next female... I don't want to use the term star, but next female personality within the sport.
Mm-hmm. Upstart, maybe.
Yeah, and I think Haley has great potential. But I want to drop some nuggets on you.
Okay.
Two names I'm going to mention that are on the watch list, who I think these two people may potentially be better than the girls we just mentioned.
Okay.
First one you may have heard of, her name is Terry Bredinger. I completely screwed that up. Tony Bredinger.
I'm like,
why I said that, I don't know. Tony Bredinger, and Tony, for listening, I'm sorry. That's completely my mishap. I follow you on Instagram. So, you follow us on Instagram, too, I think. I'm not sure. If not, you should. So, Tony Bredinger. Here's an interesting nugget about her. She is the all-time leading female winner for the USAC series.
Oh, really?
14 wins on paved tracks.
Nice.
Yeah, very nice. So she definitely has that pedigree coming up to really succeed. She is going to be racing 3 ARCA races this year for Venturi Motorsports. Wendy Venturi, whatever her name
Wendy,
is.
Wendy, yeah.
So for ARCA series, she actually had her first ARCA start last week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, so on June 15th, which was 5 days
How'd
ago.
How'd she do?
She had a top 10. I don't know what place it was. I just know it was a top 10.
Oh, cool.
So, yeah, congrats to her. Here's the other name that a lot of people aren't talking about yet. She's only like 16 years old. Carson Elledge. Does that name ring a bell to you?
It does not.
She is Kelly Earnhardt Elledge's daughter.
Oh.
She has that Earnhardt bloodline. So she is...
Which doesn't really mean a whole lot.
It means a
Jeffrey.
Little bit. Okay, yeah, it means a little bit. It means a little bit.
It could go either way, is all I'm saying.
She is competitive. She actually won a race not too long ago and actually skipped a day of school the next day. So if you look her up, she is very competitive. She's in like quarter midgets and stuff like that, but she's still very competitive. 16 years old, has a lot of potential. I'm just saying, I feel that she could be under the radar potential specimen that we need in the Cup Series eventually. Yeah. So we had Danica. Make fun of her all you want, because I did too.
She was good for the sport.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
She's good for racing in general.
Absolutely.
So I think she's hosting the ESPY Awards this coming week or something.
Yeah, I saw something on you could enter to be your date or something.
Yeah, I heard on the radio. I heard on the radio, right.
I wonder if Sokka entered that. I bet he did.
I bet he did. And we haven't talked to Sokka much recently. No, he'll be back on the show soon.
For those of you that maybe haven't listened to our older podcast, Sokka was a guest we had on probably in our first 3 or 4, I think, maybe 5 episodes.
I think maybe 6. Episode
maybe
6,
our 6th
maybe.
Episode he came on.
Just listen to all of them. You'll find it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he will be, I will tell you right now, he'll be on the show next month at least. We'll just...
Got him slated.
Yeah, so we'll leave it at that. He will be on the show next week, so let the anticipation happen.
Yeah, we've got some exciting stuff. 2 weeks, we're going to be in Daytona.
Yeah.
2 weeks from tomorrow.
We're going to be having a podcast from Daytona. And maybe we can get lucky enough to run into some fans that want to talk to us.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I seem like our fans are kind of quiet people. They don't want to talk to us.
Maybe they don't want to talk to us.
Maybe we're that annoying. Mainly me, probably.
Yeah, that's true.
Next question, coming from the good state of New Jersey, a fan of ours, Jennifer Floyd, she asked, which track is your favorite and why? So I was thinking about this.
That's a good one. That's hard to just pick one.
This is super hard, and I actually want to help you out a little bit.
Uh-oh.
I want you to tell me your top 5 favorite tracks.
Top 5. In order? Can they be in any order?
I guess it could be in any order, but I have mine in order. But I also had a chance to think about it. You did not.
And is this, just general or like visiting in person or
however
memories
to you, whatever,
from like...
Whatever her question means to you.
So it's open to interpretation.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to say, as far as tuning in on a Sunday, one of my, nothing beats tuning into the Daytona 500. Or the Pepsi 400 or the Coke 400, whatever, series sponsor the title is, Daytona. I almost have to put Daytona number 1 just because of the sheer history and the prestige level that goes along with it. So
I'm not going to disagree with you, except for I'm going to disagree with you. I did not have that as my number 1.
Really?
Yeah, so we'll get to mine in a little bit, but that's that. It obviously speaks for itself.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm going to go Daytona. I think a lot of that, too, you're coming off of the off season, you're coming through the winter, and it's just a lot of anticipation. You're constantly
excitement,
looking forward to Daytona. It normally usually doesn't let you down unless it's maybe weather-related delays or something like that. So I say Daytona is my number 1.
You've been in Daytona before.
I have not.
I have not. So in 2 weeks, I'm super excited. I might.
Actually, funny excited. Point. Last time I was at Daytona would be 15 years ago when we go down there. 2003 was when I went down there.
Man, you're old.
Yeah. Guess who the race winner was?
Wasn't it like Biffle or something?
Yeah. was hoping you didn't remember that, so I wouldn't have to say
remember the race. I remember you and Sokka talking about it. Yeah. You guys seen him drive past in a golf cart, right?
Yeah, the day of the race, he flew past us on a golf cart, and I did a double take. I'm like, I think that was Greg Biffle. And that was, like, the indicator right there. Should have known.
You know what's exciting about Daytona this year, besides the fact we're going? We get to go into the infield.
We do.
We get the fan pass, we want to call it.
Yeah, did the fan pass.
We're not special enough to get hot pass. No. We got turned down for media credentials, by the way, because I tried for us.
Yeah, and we get to do it. I think we're going to partake in a Q&A, I think.
Yeah. So, fans, you see us out and about, say hi, look for us on TV
as
well.
If you're going to Daytona, let us know.
Yeah, we'd love to meet up, maybe have lunch or something. You know, we'll try to do something. And just say hi to all our fans. We'll have some stuff with us too.
Post on Daytona's Facebook page, because they're counting it down, like each week they're counting down. So we're just going to have to post on there and say,
I'll let my media guy handle that.
Say, hey, fans, Reckon Racing podcast is going to be there. So look us up.
Awesome. And I'll ask right now, I'm not under this, but if anybody knows any drivers that they can get us in touch with, we can have them on the show, or we can meet up with them at Daytona and interview them. That'd be awesome.
Okay, so number one was Daytona for me. What's your number one?
Okay, number one for me is Talladega.
Talladega, okay.
And here is the reason why. It's like Daytona. It has history, not quite as good as Daytona, but similar. But the party atmosphere. It is a freaking show at Talladega. I've been to Talladega, I was going to say almost more than any other track, but I think I've been to Indy more now. At least twice. Mm-hmm. It's a party, man. Constant freaking party. It's crazy. So that's why I have Talladega as number one over Daytona.
Just because of the parties.
That's what sets it apart. Daytona is a bunch of flip-flop wearing, you know, surfer boys walking around.
Crocs.
Yeah. Shut up. And in Alabama, at Talladega, you have a bunch of redneck, kind of people.
Yeah.
I mean, out there, you know, just
You're preaching to the choir here, man.
I know. Talladega is
one of my top five, so you don't got to tell me about it.
Yeah, I love the atmosphere at Talladega.
So, my number two is going to be Martinsville.
Martinsville, very good. Very good. I like Martinsville. So, what really sets Martinsville out for you?
For me, I think it's the uniqueness of the track. A lot of it also has to do with the fact that, obviously, they go there twice a year, but growing up there, that was a race that Gordon was always good at. I was a big Gordon fan, and obviously he did well at that track. So he also came back and filled in for Junior there, kind of made a reattempt into the sport there when he covered.
Reemergence,
I guess would be a better word. But yeah, Martinsville, I think, would be pick number two. It's always good racing. Gets to see some payback. And we saw
Martinsville is pure short track racing.
Yeah, just like last year we watched Hamlin dump Chase, which I didn't like to see that, but you know, that those types of quarrels.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Sure. Understand.
Those are the breeding grounds, yeah. You know.
Very good selection. Very good. My number two is Daytona.
Okay.
Yeah, so right behind Talladega, I said the only thing to me that separated it was the atmosphere.
Okay.
So I don't need to go back on the history and stuff, we just talked about that.
Okay.
Going on to number three.
I'm gonna select Charlotte. And the reason why is, okay, maybe that's not the most exciting racetrack ever, but from a fan's point, going to Charlotte, I've been to Charlotte three or four times. I love that track. I love that city, and I like going to all the race shops in the surrounding
area.
That's
a good call. I was thinking it from the racing aspect. I didn't even consider it in my top five because I'm not a huge fan of the racing that it gives.
I've never went for the Coke 600. It's always been the fall race. When it was a night race, it went a few years. But going around to all the race shops.
Sure, I don't say the atmosphere there, going
into downtown Charlotte.
I love Charlotte. Cool. For a big city, I love Charlotte.
Absolutely, it's a cool vibe. Lots of stuff to do. That's why I pick Charlotte as number three.
Awesome. From that perspective, Lugs, I like it. I'm not a big fan of the racing there, so I didn't even consider it. Mm-hmm. But from the other aspects of what it brings to you from the NASCAR aspect of as outside of
the
just
racing.
The race itself.
Absolutely.
Yeah, very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
My number three is Martinsville. So basically exactly what you're just talking about. It's pure short track racing. I love Martinsville.
Yeah.
Love Martinsville.
So, okay. Go on to your number four, sir.
Four for me, actually, is probably going to be Talladega. And kind of to your point, I've actually never been to Talladega, so I can't speak on the party aspect. But just the general racing, four, five-wide racing, you know, topping 200 miles an hour, you know, trying to find a lane to the front, and just all the nostalgic races I've watched there over the years on TV. Yeah, Talladega's definitely in the top five, so I'll put it number four.
Okay. My number four is, you probably didn't think about being top five, but maybe you did, is Richmond.
Yeah, why?
Richmond at night, just I guess because of the whole night aspect, and there's been a lot of good racing leading up to the checkered flag.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it could be the snooze fest, I get that. But I do have a lot of good memories. I know Dale Jr. won that race multiple times, that helps. But anyway, a lot of memories of some good hard racing for the checkered flag.
Yeah, and, you know, that was always traditionally the cutoff race. Whenever they, you know, over the last 10 years or whatever for the different, you know, point races or series chases or whatnot. So it's always been a cutoff. But it's always, that's a safe selection for a top five, I think.
Yeah.
Last one for me, top five. Coming in number five is going to be Homestead.
Oh,
I like Homestead. Oh, I like the different.
I can't get into Homestead.
You know, and here it's actually been better can I pick years. Can I pick a tie? Can I pick one to tie with it?
I guess I'll allow that.
It was between that and Atlanta, and actually, the more I think about it, I want to pick Atlanta, but both of them have starting to get that. Well, obviously Atlanta, they're debating repaving that. It's so old and worn out, but they have the different grooves. The different lanes, you know, that the tires get chewed up on, and it's, you know, kind of plays into the driver's hand if they want to run the bottom, the middle, the top, whatever you want to do. But I mean, also for the fact that the series ends the season there, that's where they crown the champion. Typically, you know, as long as you're not looking before they remodeled it and you know, they had the less banking, you know, it's always been a good race.
It has been better. I remember when it first started, when we first started going down to Homestead, I was kind of...
Like 2000, that was before they had all the banking.
Yeah, but I definitely agree that they made it a lot better result later on. So.
And same thing for Atlanta. I think we need to go back to... We need to go to Atlanta twice a year. Go back to the old days.
Man, there's some good finishes. We're in between Bobby and Dale, Harvick's first win. Gordon, I mean, there's a lot of...
Yeah. Well, and then also, you remember when Johnson and Gordon battled it out?
Yeah, there's a lot of good memories. Yeah,
we need to go there twice a year. There's no reason why we're not going there twice a year. The racing is always phenomenal.
Unless you're Kevin Harvick this year and just kicks dominant butt.
Well, okay, yeah, but...
This year was the exception to the rule. How about that?
For me, Atlanta and Homestead clocking in together at five.
Okay. My number five is Bristol, baby.
Yeah.
So maybe a couple years ago, not so much, but you bring it back when we were growing up, and then the product that produced this year too, Bristol might be back. It was a very exciting time.
Yeah, I think it has the potential to be headed back down that road to what we saw in the mid-90s. And
you're talking about memorable moments, just between Terry and Dale itself.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I just the thundering Coliseum, you know, whatever you want to call it, the last greatest show on earth.
It was the last greatest Coliseum, not
whatever.
last greatest show on earth.
The bottom line is that Bristol is a race we all wanted to go to. It was sold out year in advance easily.
Yeah.
Now it's not so much, but again, I think it might be heading closer to that direction again. Mm-hmm. So. Anyway, nostalgia maybe with me, but Bristol's my number five.
Okay.
I do have a couple of honorable mentions. Just a couple of tracks I like that did not make my top five.
Me too.
Is Pocono and Dover. A lot of people don't like Dover. I love Dover. To me, it's high intensity. It's big banks. It's concrete.
For me, I wanted to put Darlington in there.
Yeah, that's not a bad one.
Yeah, Darlington Stripe. It's, you know... That comes down
history.
To a true, you know, driver. It puts it in the driver's hands to a degree, you know.
Yeah.
You could have the best car, but if you continuously stuffing it in the fence, you know, that's going to take you out of it.
Maybe that's why, because it's all in the driver. Last time we played a video game and we went to Darlington, I kicked your hiney.
Yeah, I don't think that happened.
It did, too.
No.
Yes, it did.
You are the worst at video games. There's no way that happened.
One time, buddy. One time it happened. All right.
You know what? We might have to have a third person come in and like video us going head-to-head on NASCAR Heat or something.
Maybe next year like we can start up a season on one of the games, and then we can recap our season on
maybe
our website.
We'll upload it to YouTube and...
Something, yeah. Maybe we can get some
show
fans
you,
join
show
us.
Show you guys
something.
How terrible the Gas Man really is.
I'm not going to lie. I pull a Noah Gragson every race.
Yeah, every lap. Not just every race, every lap.
All right. This one is going to be my throwing you for the loop question.
Oh, gosh.
He asked me earlier before he started, is there any question that's going to be throwing you for a loop? I said, not really. I lied to you, Luke. So this question comes from our fan, James Will from Indiana, from Facebook.
Dude, would you get it out already? You're like over there giggling like a schoolgirl.
Okay. If he could choose any one of the NASCAR wives, who would it be?
Oh. Yeah, that's an interesting one. What are we choosing them for?
I'm assuming to be married to.
Of current drivers?
There's no stipulation on that. Because actually, I made a choice, and they're not a current driver.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You want me to go first?
Yeah. Give me a second to think about this. Okay. How long have you known about this question?
A while now. A while.
I think so, I did. Where was this submitted? Facebook?
Facebook.
I need to keep a better eye on our Facebook comments. Yeah,
no kidding. So, man, this question could make us look really creepy. Very awkward. So, I gave it a lot of thought.
I bet you did.
I went to the most simplest answer I could think of without looking like some kind of creep. I'm going to choose
Amy.
No one you've even thought about. I'm going to go with Buffy Waltrip.
Why?
Why is because she stood up Michael Waltrip, which gives me an A in her book, you know, my book, I mean. And B is that her name is cool.
Buffy?
Buffy. It's not, I mean, it's like her middle name. It's not her real name, but she went by Buffy. So, yeah, Buffy. I thought Buffy, it makes me think of Vampire Slayer. I went with Buffy Waltrip.
All right. All right, let me think about this. We'll come back full circle. I'll get you the answer by the end of this podcast.
No, come on the spot. Let's go.
Can't even like think of
Brett Gordon.
Oh God, let's not bring her up. I can't even really think of too many. Honestly,
Samantha Bush,
Delana. Who else? Amy.
Jordan Fish.
Jordan's? Yeah, Jordan. Denny's. Are they married now?
I don't think they're married yet.
I know they have a kid.
Yeah, I don't think they're married yet. I mean, there's Teresa Earnhardt.
Oh, yeah, that's it. That's the one.
Aaron Crocker. Everham. All right. Doesn't have to be a driver necessarily, but a NASCAR wife. All right. So, are we coming back then?
You're going to have to come back.
Okay.
I can't give you a truthful answer right now.
All right. So, this question you're going to probably come back to then as well. Because
we got more?
This next question is going to be, I thought, Turner for you as This comes from Tracy Lair in Indiana on her Facebook page. What is the biggest upset you remember watching? Who won versus who should have won? Yeah, there's so many to choose from. So many. I'll tell you mine while you're thinking about it.
Oh, God, I can think about it right now. I know. I've got it picked. I saw it in person.
Okay, let's hear it.
Indianapolis, 2011, Paul Menard. You know exactly.
I wasn't thinking that, but yes, okay. We were there together, yes. I just
spit
beer all over myself because I was not expecting it.
Because you remember it. You were there. You saw my emotions. Oh, I was upset. So, Paul Menard, Gordon was going to get his fifth Brickyard win, which he ended up doing a couple years later in 2014, but still, could have had six Brickyard wins now. But no, Paul Menard had to save fuel. He was turning off of his freaking engine every lap and coasting. When he went by, it sounded like a silent missile. He didn't even have his car running.
Yeah, it was pretty dead.
And
you know, I didn't think about that. I figured it was going to be like Stewart.
So that's the first thing that comes in my mind. Maybe I'll think of another one, but right now, that's my pick.
I had a horrible time choosing an answer for this one. Because, I mean, being an Earnhardt Sr. fan, oh my God, it's endless at 500.
1990 Daytona 500.
You have hitting seagulls. You have tires blowing.
Flipping at Talladega.
Just at Daytona alone with Dale Sr., there's so many disappointments. Other things that came to mind was, like, Dale Jr. and Kyle Busch at Richmond that we talked about in an earlier episode.
Mm-hmm.
That came to mind. Back at Atlanta, I think it was like 03, 04, Dale Jr. actually had a legit chance at a championship that year. He was contending, and he cut down on Carl Edwards. Edwards spun him, hit the wall. He didn't finish like third in points that year. I was so, so pissed off.
I don't specifically remember that, but...
So there's so many different things coming to mind. Here's one for
it's
you.
It's funny, though, that... The, our interpretation of that is the upsets of our drivers.
Yeah,
right?
I know.
The drivers
right?
that we rooted for.
Here's one that came to mind that wasn't my driver. Martinsville. Was it Clint Boyer that dove inside, like, three wide on that restart or whatever, and took out, was it Johnson and Gordon?
Johnson and Gordon.
Yeah.
And himself, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So that was another one.
And then
what the hell are you doing?
Ryan Newman ended up winning it. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. I hate those because they're just ingrained in my mind. I can tell you every one of those types of races who ended up winning it because it just left a sour taste in my mouth. But that's a good one. That's a good question. I'm gonna keep thinking about
that.
Thank
you, Tracy Lair, for that question.
I'm going to think about that one some more and see if there's going to be more that come to my mind. Just going to take me a minute or two.
We have one more question from a fan.
Okay.
And then we'll circle back around to the wives question. Okay. So a friend of our show, Stephanie Womeldorf, if you've heard a previous episode, she was a winner of one of our contests. So Stephanie, hi, I hope you're doing well. Thank you for the question. Her question is, it seemed like a very basic question, but actually put a lot of thought in my mind. Do you think Kyle Larson can win this weekend? And by the way, Stephanie's from Illinois. So I was trying to list states everybody's from, so Illinois.
Absolutely.
So here's my thing. Can he win? Yeah, absolutely. Is he going to win? No. No. And here's the reason why I say that. We talked about it kind of the last episode. Does he or does he not keep putting himself in position where he's spinning?
Yeah, I agree.
He's overdriving. He's trying so hard, he's overdriving.
I agree. He can win. I don't think he will. He does have a win there in the K&N series in 2014.
Okay. My worry about it, because that'd be awesome if he does win. I would like that, you know, for him. I don't think he will because I think you cannot overdrive Sonoma.
You can't.
And I think that's just what that would happen. If he was in contention for a win, he would do that.
Getting off course one time is just detrimental.
Right. So I don't think, but just what we've seen here recently with him mentally wise, that he would be able to sustain and not have that screw up.
Mm-hmm.
So, Stephanie, good question. Thank you very much. Now, Lux, back to you on who do you like to be your wife?
Come on. I feel creepy answering this.
Well, just come up with something. Come on. Don't be scared. Don't be shy. Our fan asked us this.
I'm just going to pick Danica Patrick then. Make her my...
But she's not a NASCAR wife. You gonna pick Ricky Stenhouse?
Technically, she was married at one time. So.
Not to a NASCAR person.
She's a NASCAR wife.
Oh my gosh.
She's a divorced NASCAR wife, but
I was hoping you'd go a bit more original.
That's pretty original. I don't know. I'm pass.
Fans, Lugs does not respect your question.
All right, so let's go
maybe
on.
Maybe by the end of the episode, you'll
maybe,
come up with an
maybe.
Answer.
I'll keep thinking about it.
Good questions. Thank you, fans. Never hesitate to email us.
Yeah,
maybe,
keep these coming.
Yeah, this is fun.
Yeah, these are fun. Hopefully they're fun for you to listen to us rack our brains over. So, did you hear Gasman? I guess you were ready to move on to some news this week.
And stuff, sure.
Did you hear about the Cup sponsorship the rumors that are going on?
I have not.
Not at all?
No. Tell me all about it.
Let me find a little bit of information here because it's quite detailed. And I read this today. So there's talk about, for 2020, NASCAR breaking down instead of having one title sponsorship brand, like in the situation now is Monster, obviously, having five or six other brands be the title sponsors. What's your thoughts on that?
I think it's weird. Five or six brands being a title sponsor.
Yes. So
I don't understand how the breakdown can happen.
Provisional plans. The model, the rumor is that there's going to be five tiers. Okay, so five different price points would be my assumption. So five tiers, but the very top tier has four to six different company brands that are sponsoring. So
company
the rumor,
brands. What does company brands mean? I'm not asking. I'm just more rhetorical.
Yeah, company brands. So the big rumor is that right now Coca-Cola has their sights set on it, on one of them. Sunoco, Mobile One.
Yeah, but what are they getting? What is the assets they're getting?
I don't know. So
that's what's confusing to me.
That's what the article doesn't really say.
And what would the name be?
Exclusivity,
the conglomerate NASCAR series?
They're thinking the exclusivity would be the league or maybe track or media partnership levels, like different packages. So I don't know. The article, you guys can go to it. Actually, just Google it. I think it's on the New York Business Journal. That's where I saw it today. There's not a lot of detailed information. Like I said, it doesn't. If it's rumored to take effect in 2020, but it obviously, there's a lot of speculation in it.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I definitely want to read more on that and keep my ears open for that because that's very an interesting alignment.
Yeah. So, for example, like, I believe they said Monster paid $20 million for the title sponsorship name, right? So they're going to break it down into these different tiers, and they're estimating each category is going to be about a $10 million cost. So they're recouping. So basically they're gonna give it out to these different companies, different brands, to purchase these different tiers to recoup the overall, you know, prices that they used to get with, you know, I'm sure Winston and Sprint or Nextel and all of that. So you might have five or six companies paying $10 million a piece for 1 year.
I kind of see that. I just don't see how it's in the end going to. I know it's going to benefit NASCAR by monetary, but how
maybe
do you break that down on like memorabilia and fire suits? I mean, it just seems very weird on how they're going to organize this.
Yeah, and so I would assume that they would be able to bid on particular like track title sponsors, you know. Or is that still going to be a thing? So, you know, each race has their own title sponsor for that race. So is that going to go away?
Are we going to have, you know, five Coca-Cola 500s?
It just seems like you're going to have so many hands in the cookie jar.
I agree. This seems like it's going to be, you know, just, and I could be completely wrong, and I probably am, but it almost sounds like it's going to be a mess.
Not only this, the other thought that I have when I'm reading this is, you know, if you've got five or six companies paying $10 million a piece for a piece of the pie, right? The main piece of the pie. Is that not going to take some sponsors away from the teams? Because, I mean, the cost to sponsor a race team, you know, granted there's not as many sponsors that are signing on for a full 36 races. They're doing 12 races or 15 or 20, you know, and they're splitting up the season. But $10 million easily would get you 20 races with a decent team. So is that not going to pull some of the visibility from the teams?
Absolutely, there's a chance of that, yeah. Because
so are they kind of shooting themselves in the foot a little bit?
I think it's a possibility. Because I see your point there, and I think it's a very good point.
Robin Peter to pay Paul, I guess.
Yeah, essentially. So you have these teams who are already struggling for sponsorship.
Especially your startup teams.
And you have companies that can have a 36 race viewership, 36 race, you know, where people can visualize them for 36 races compared to 15 races, 20 races.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes monetarily business sense, makes more sense being a title sponsor than a car sponsor. So, like, yeah, I can see it's hurting the cars. I don't know, but it definitely
seems
kind of screwy to me.
A lot more transparency here.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. Huh, good. That's a good. Good thing you're
so again. Rumor is if that's the case, that would take effect 2020 as Monster signed through the end of 2019. So, I don't know. We just that's another one we'll have to wait and see how it plays out.
Okay. What other kind of news do you have?
There's a K&N race this weekend at Sonoma. It's Saturday. And we've got four Cup regulars starting that race.
Oh, really? Who do we have?
Getting some seat time there. So, Eric Jones, Daniel Suarez, William Byron, Alex Bowman, and Eric Almirola will all be in that K&N race.
Other than Eric, all a bunch of youngins.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Byron definitely need the seat time.
Byron is the only one that does not have any road course seat time. So that'll be imperative for him.
Right. Interesting.
And I can tell you, give me one second here. Yeah, Jones is going to be in the 20 Toyota owned by David Gilliland. Alex Bowman will be in the 24 from Bill McNally Racing Stables. William Byron in the 27 Chevy owned by Jerry Pitts. Eric Almirola in the 41 Ford owned by Tony Stewart. And Daniel Suarez in the 54 owned by David Gilliland. So David Gilliland's got two cars. Jones and Suarez will be in those cars.
Does Gillen have something with Joe Gibbs Racing? Like, is his
that or maybe son Kyle Busch
or something? I don't know. Okay,
could be Kyle Busch racing as well. I don't
Interesting.
Know.
Interesting. Yeah.
So, yeah, that'll be fun. I'm gonna tune into that. I think it's on Fox Sports 1 or Fox Sports 2 this weekend. So, be kind of cool. There's no Xfinity or truck race, so they'll be back at Chicagoland next weekend.
Yep. All right. News for me, I don't have a lot of news, but talking about drivers doing other circuits other than Cup or whatever, Kyle Larson's been doing a lot of dirt track racing here recently.
Yeah.
Like, he even came to our area. He was going to, and it rained out, and I think he actually did a couple weeks later when they had it. But anyway, he's been winning a lot, too.
Well, at least he's winning somewhere.
Yeah, that's true. True. Very true.
While you're talking about dirt, did you hear the September race weekend in Indianapolis? They're actually going to have a dirt race that weekend, a sanctioned dirt race up there.
No, I didn't hear that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so kind of some cross-promotion. They're going to have Stewart. I don't think he's actually going to be racing, but he's going to be heavily influencing, you know, trying to get a lot of sprint car drivers to enter and everything. So it's going to be that Thursday, I believe, before that weekend kicks off.
Okay.
So it'll be right there, you know, in Indianapolis, and then lead into all the Cup Series and Xfinity Series events. So, interesting.
Talking about dirt, why don't you share that article you sent to me?
What's that?
About the tires with that dirt track driver.
Oh, I'd have to dig it up. I forgot about that.
Oh, I have the info here. Oh, okay. So, Bobby Pierce is facing a 30-day suspension and a fine of $28,790.
From USAC?
From... I don't remember what series it was. I just know it was dirt racing. But anyway, for his tires did not pass sampling test. They said that the tires did not conform to the Hoosier tire standards.
Ouch.
So reading comments on it, I know a little bit about dirt racing, but I don't know a whole lot about dirt racing. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I guess it's pretty commonplace for these teams to soak their tires in some kind of fluid to make it stick better, I guess.
That sounds like an allegation in the 90s by Jack Roush. Remember that?
Yeah, I do. So, I guess it's pretty commonplace, but anyway, they busted this Bobby Pierce for that situation.
So $30,000 is a lot of money for a dirt racer.
That's what I was going to say as well, is $28,000. I mean, yeah, think a lot of your dirt racers are very blue-collar, low-income people.
Paycheck, or you know, race-to-race earnings, basically. Yeah, absolutely. So, well, did they say he was appealing it?
I think he has appealed it. Okay. Yeah, he's already appealed it. So it's in the process right now.
Well, we'll have to see what happens there. Let's see, what else? Did you see Bubba Burgers is signed on to sponsor Bubba Wallace this weekend?
Fitting.
What? Oh, yeah, fitting. Yeah, good brand alliance, naming alliance.
Makes
there.
Sense, yeah.
Yeah, so Bubba Burgers sponsoring Bubba Wallace. So
cool. Well, good for you, Bubba. Yeah. And Bubba.
They've really filled in the sponsorships on, you know, that car ever since, you know, the Click and Close was going to do, like, what, two races, and then they expanded, and then they got what, I think Meyer on board, and just a little bit,
couple
of this,
other
little
ones,
bit of
yeah,
that. Yeah,
a bunch of little ones pieced together.
Yeah,
so good for them.
Good for that team. They keep on trucking.
Yeah.
So,
yep. Jeb Burton got engaged this week.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Good so for him. That's Ward's son, Jeb.
Yeah.
Jeb, hi. How you doing? Congratulations on your engagement. She seemed like a very nice lady. Based on the picture I seen on
that. Is she your NASCAR wife?
No.
In the future?
Okay. Maybe in the future. I don't know. I don't know enough about her. Maybe. But Buffy is hard to beat.
All right. So we'll shift gears a little bit, kind of more on the folks of Cup, unless you got anything else to kind of talk about speculation this weekend and whatnot.
Only quick thing I have, did you see the new diecast that Lionel Racing sent to Dale Jr.?
Oh, yeah, the
Isla Rose diecast.
I always want to call her Ella because that's Gordon's
little
girl's
right.
name. Isla and Ella. I always want to call her Ella.
Yeah, isn't that so sweet? Did you see in the picture that Jr. shared for Father's Day?
Uh-uh.
Of Dale Sr., kind of like, he's in the kitchen or something, him and Dale Jr.'s mom, and he just looks like he's three quarters drunk and smiling real big.
No, I
didn't. Still had the mustache. This is back in the way before he started Cup, too.
Oh, nice.
That's all the news I had this week.
Okay. Well, we'll kind of get into Cup speculation then, make our picks and whatnot. Who do you think, not obviously necessarily telling you to make your pick for this weekend, but who's the best road racer currently? I feel like...
Oh, man.
So the last, for the everyone that fans you don't know, the last 9 races at Sonoma, we've had 9 different race winners. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I can't...
It makes it hard to pick one person to...
You have people who you wouldn't even think be good at, like a road course, like a Truex, who wins.
Yeah. So that's the other point, is Truex, Busch, and Harvick have won, like, the last 3 years, they won this. So you can't necessarily point your finger at any one of them and say any of them have a specific advantage.
Yeah, you know, back in the day, we knew who the stars were. Like, Rusty Wallace was known for it for a while. Obviously, you had all your ringers thrown in there. Your Marcus Ambrose, whenever he raced. Stuff like that. But in today's world, I have no idea. I don't think Daniel Suarez is bad, but obviously he hasn't had a whole lot of Cup time there.
Mm-hmm.
My prediction for the week is Kyle Busch winning.
So is he your pick? Or
he's my pick. He
okay.
is my pick.
Oh, way to take the easy way out.
Well, yeah. I mean, he's...
Who's your dark horse?
My dark horse is Allmendinger.
I knew you were going to pick him.
I talked about him last week.
What? I mean... That's such a cop out.
How's that a cop out?
That's a cop out.
That's a hell of a cop out.
Of course he's gonna do good this weekend. I hope he does terrible just because you picked him. Sorry, AJ. If you're listening, I don't really mean that.
Support your co-host a little more there.
But all right, well, you know what? I had AJ picked too. I'm not gonna lie.
Okay.
But I knew you were gonna pick him, so I have a backup.
All right.
So my pick is going to be Kurt Busch. So we got the Busch brothers selected.
Okay, okay.
Kurt Busch is my pick. Dark horse is going to be Blaney.
Mm.
I don't even remember how he did there last year. But
yeah. I mean, I can see it, though.
I don't know. This is a crapshoot. I think, honestly, anybody that's got a decent skill set of road racing or, you know, heel towing and being good with the cars... At a road course is going to have a shot.
You're talking about road course. Someone posed the question, what's the best preparation you have for a road course? And Dale Jr. even chimed in on this and said iRacing. iRacing is the best tools to give you for
absolutely.
Road course.
Absolutely. Those tracks are, you know, satellite, you know, mapped.
Maybe we should start a Wrecking and Racing podcast.
Down
iRacing
to the elevation
series.
Changes. Yeah, I'd like to see you partake in that.
I would love to partake. If we can make our own series and we race against our fans, that would be awesome. I would maybe sign up for iRacing for that. I would maybe actually buy something more than a dinosaur computer to be able to do that. Unless I can do it on my phone.
No, you can't do iRacing on your phone. What was the race? Real Racing? Is that what you had?
Yeah, Real Racing. Yeah, actually, I still got it.
You still play it?
Maybe.
Yeah, you do. Was it a NASCAR expansion or something?
Yeah. Actually, I switched to it. I literally just got a new phone today. I don't have the other. I was racing one that had Austin Dillon on the cover, NASCAR Racing or NASCAR. Maybe it's NASCAR Heat, like a phone version of NASCAR Heat. Mm-hmm. Maybe that I was racing with for a while. So
okay, so your pick was Kyle and AJ because you're a cop out.
You're just jealous, fool.
Okay. But that's actually all I've got.
Yeah, I don't have anything else either.
Okay.
All right, well, fans, as always, we love you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for telling your friends. Please tell more friends. We've been having some exciting weeks, and we're growing leaps and bounds, but we need to grow some more. Help us out. WreckingRacing.com is our website. WreckingRacing@gmail.com is our email. Please reach out to us. Talk to us. Give us questions. We will see you at Daytona in 2 weeks.
Yep. And next week, you'll hear from us live.
From a bar.
From getting docks.
Drunk. Getting lit. You know what they say, no. These kids these days?
No, it's not.
Okay.
No, it's not.
Fans, thank you again. Have a great day. We'll see you next week.
And the checkered flag waves on this episode. Tune in next week to keep updated on all things NASCAR. Please like us on iTunes and follow us on Podbean. We'd like to hear from you, so reach out to us too at wreckingandracing@gmail.com. Thanks again, and see you soon.